Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In worship, what kind of music does God expect? Well, what are the possibilities? Well, there is singing only, and there is playing upon mechanical instruments and music only, and there is singing and playing on mechanical instruments and music. But the question we want to concern ourselves with is, what does God expect? How do we know what He expects? You know, every generation needs to be taught concerning God's Word and God's will. For worship to be acceptable, it has to be according to divine authority. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." In order for there to be true worship, as Jesus says here, then that indicates there can be false worshipers. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, we again have Jesus talking in verse 8. "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So here he mentions vain worship. So it is that there is the possibility that exists for worship that is rendered to be vain worship. We know too from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, there in verse 17, the statement is found that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So this verse tells us that Jesus must authorize all that we do if we are truly Christians and if we truly want to be members of His church. What does the New Testament teach about music in worship unto God? In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, notice as we start our reading in verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The command in these verses is sing. Where is the instrument to be found in these verses? In fact, what we've read here in Ephesians 5, I want us to look at all of the verses found in the New Testament on the subject of music in worship unto God. Matthew 26 and verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Acts 16 verse 25, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." Romans 15, verse 9, "I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, "I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm. Ephesians 5:19 that we read just a moment ago, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 2:12, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And James 5:13, is any merry, let him sing psalms. So here are all of the verses in the New Testament that are on the subject of music in worship unto God. Well, then the question obviously to be asked is, where did the origin of mechanical instruments of music and worship come from? Well, according to secular history, because again, we can't go to the scriptures and find the origin, we find that in secular history, that in 670 A.D., Pope Vitalian I introduced it into the Roman Catholic Church, but it was removed fairly quickly to preserve unity. It was in 775 A.D. that it was reintroduced into the Roman Catholic Church, and this time it was kept, it was accepted, but still there was some opposition, but not near the opposition there was about 100 years earlier. It was never used in the Greek Orthodox Church, as far as I can find and as far as I can understand. Here's a quote from the American Encyclopedia, Volume 12, on page 688, and I quote, Pope Vitalian is related to have introduced organs into some of the churches of Southern Europe about A.D. 670, but the only trustworthy account is that of one sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine Cancioplius to Pepin, King of Franks, in 1775. End of quote. Another quote from the Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religion, Volume 2, page 1702, and I quote, in the Greek church, the organ never came into use, but after the 8th century, it became common in the Latin church, not, however, without opposition from the side of the monks. The Reformed Church discarded, and though the Church of Basil very early introduced it, it was in other places admitted only sparingly and after long hesitation. End of quote. I want us now to, in trying to see the origin or how the mechanical instruments of music became to be a part of worship in some churches, I wanted to make some quotes from denominational men. This is a quote from John Calvin's commentary on the 23rd Psalm. John Calvin, of course, was a Presbyterian, and I quote, musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, and the restoration of the utter shadows of the law. End of quote. Here's a quote from John Wesley, who is a Methodist, and this is quoted in Clark's Commentary, Volume 4, page 686, and I quote, this is John Wesley's statement, I have no opposition to the organ in our chapel, provided it is neither seen nor heard. I quoted from Adam Clark, and now I want to make a quote from Adam Clark himself, who is also a Methodist. And this is from Clark's Commentary, again, Volume 4, page 686, and I quote, "I am an old man and a minister, and I declare that I never knew them," and he's referring to mechanical instruments, "productive of any good in the worship of God. And I have reason to believe that they were productive of much evil. Music as a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruption in the worship of the infinite spirit, who requires his followers to worship him in spirit and in truth." End of quote. And here is a quote from Charles Spurgeon, who was a Baptist. He never was instrumental mechanical instruments of music used in the services where Charles Spurgeon preached. And when he was asked why he did not use the organ in his service, he would first quote 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, and I quote it now. "I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." And after he would quote that verse, then he would make this statement, and I quote, "I would as soon pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery." End of quote. What we must understand in realizing that mechanical instruments of music was introduced by man and not endorsed by God is to realize that therefore we have no authority from God when it comes to worship that is to be rendered unto him in the use of mechanical instruments of music. Jesus is to be the author of our faith. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know how faith comes. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Truly, we must go to the Word of God to produce the evidence, to produce the authority of where God accepts, where God will allow for the use of mechanical instruments in worship unto him. And we establish that authority by whether or not God has given us a command to do so, or whether or not we see the apostles and the early church in the first century given such as an example of the things that they did, and then whether or not we can come up with a conclusion that is absolutely necessary, a conclusion based on a command or an example that we find in the Scriptures. So we see then that all of the Scriptures that we looked at a moment ago, all of the Scriptures that we could find in the New Testament, all of them state sing. So that is both the command and it is the example that we have given in the New Testament. And so then we must understand that there are two kinds of music. One is vocal, one is instrumental. And when the Scriptures specify sing, that's vocal. And thus vocal is the music that we find that the Scriptures specify. And friends, when God specifies something, that excludes all other possibilities. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.